Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games and video game culture by three very kind little dickheads. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and I'm joined as always by two guys, a couple of real pieces of work in my opinion. Adam Knox and Ben Vanell.
We're always joined, do you? As always.
Can I just say, let me just say, good morning, video games!
Finally!
I've created a catchphrase.
I like it a lot. Okay, that's
gross
how we...
little glint in your eye when you said that and you finally got it out of your mouth after probably 2 weeks because you didn't want to try it out on the one where Luke was here.
Yeah. No, be honest, how long ago did you come up with it?
No, that was this morning. I was racking my brains to have like some kind of shtick today, apart from talking about video games with my friends.
Is that what you'd call a shtick? What's the because a shtick's like a larger embodiment of a thing that you're taking. Look, on. It's not just one thing that you say.
Just wait till I roll it out over the course of the podcast.
All right.
Good morning, Tomb Raider.
you've stolen my bit.
Quickly, Knox, I thought of you on the way here.
Oh, that's
nice.
I saw
a car with the license plate pizza.
Oh, really?
And then, so I see that and I think, well, I've got a good opener for the podcast.
Yeah.
Then we walk in here.
Yeah.
This son of a gun over here,
that's
Ben Vanell,
Ben
starts telling us about how he's made a pizza for dinner last night.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah, when he told me that, my eyes bugged out of my head and my tongue rolled out along the floor like a cartoon wolf.
Your dick bugged out of your pants as well.
Oh, don't even get me started, no.
Don't get me started on that dick of mine.
Good morning, penis! That's what he said.
I'm on board now. It took me three.
I'm about
good morning,
to bail.
Matter. I was like, I think I'm about 50% on this. But now I'm totally on
board. Now you're like
69%. And that is where I will remain. As far as I'm concerned, 69% is better than 100%.
Well,
I would rather get 69%.
Tell that to your maths teacher.
I saw the first funny Saturday Night Live sketch I've seen in quite a while recently.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, I've roasted them.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Lorne, I will still very gladly
suck your dick to be on that show.
Oh, my God, the things I'd do.
Yep.
But it was when Amy Schumer was hosting, it was like a porn set.
Would you describe yourself as a feminist, Knox?
Fuck off. I just mentioned Amy Schumer. Anyway.
Please don't mansplain Amy Schumer to us.
This is about gaming ethics in journalism, all right? This isn't about feminism.
Gaming ethics in journalism.
Yes.
You flipped the sentence.
I want every journalist to have gaming ethics.
Okay.
This is a really good episode of Filthy Casuals so far. IMHO.
It's worth going to look up. Like, it's kind of a shitty premise. Like, I feel like it's been done where it's like, it's a porn set and it's like, teacher is disciplining the student, but then one of the students is a real student, and there was just a line in that where she went,
right,
he only got 68% on his test, I'm gonna show him how to get 69, and the kid goes, that's still a D+. And that made me laugh.
That's a good joke.
Good stuff. So if Lorne's listening and he calls you up and he goes, you know what, I heard that offer that you made of oral fellatio in return for a job on my TV show Saturday Night Live. I'm here to collect on the offer.
Yeah.
So you go in, you
you got to do the audition.
You do what you have to do. No, he's so what? You think he's sucking Lorne Michaels' dick
and then he's still having
to pass an audition?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, that is
well, he has to at least present some characters that he's going to do on the show
while sucking the dick.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would receive blowjobs from characters.
I'll write middle class America on my forehead and write Donald Trump on his dick.
Oh.
And then he'll be like, that's good. That is good political satire.
Yeah, a little political cartoonist style.
Yeah.
A little bit of Mark Knight in there.
I fucking hate political cartoons, how they have to write. Like, if you have to write what a thing is on the drawing, you've done
awful.
A bad drawing.
Have you seen my ones that I do? I do a political cartoon called Political Strife. And it's real bad. All the text is in Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And it's all just that. Like, I'll draw a Subway sandwich and it's got the budget written on it.
Very good.
I should do more of them.
We should swap cartoon Facebook pages soon.
Okay, cool.
I've got one. one. Do you want?
Do you really?
Yeah, it's called Hakuna Matata. And it's Timon and Pumbaa being like mates and they're drinking VB and stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean? So your pitch is you've turned Timon and Pumbaa into mates. They're already mates.
No, but into like Aussie mates.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's like Aussie Timon and Pumbaa.
It's mates spelled like M8 Tata.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, what's going on this week in the world of video games?
Well.
Wait, did we wrap up that thread? Were there any loose ends? So, that's what I was going to say. So you give Lord Michaels blowjobs.
Yeah, we do need to revisit this. You're right.
As a series
this
of
has not
characters.
Been fully mined for the gold that is contained within.
And I like your assessment before of the sketch. Like, so you I reckon you in the writers' room of Saturday Night Live, you're just sitting there, and that's all you're just poo-pooing everyone.
Yeah, you're the
work.
Big dog in the corner.
I don't think you contribute anything.
Yeah. Well, if I knew I could just suck Lord Michaels' dick for, you know, a pay rise or whatever, then I wouldn't. I wouldn't work very hard at all.
Wait, how do you know that sucking the dick is going to get you a pay rise?
Yeah,
you have not
sucked any dicks for a pay rise.
Lorne's going to want to revisit that sweet little mouth.
Okay, let's.
That is the echo of an empty mind.
Let's do a bit of hype for something that's happening next weekend for us, but probably two episodes time by the time we get around to recording with some other things we've got lined up. We, the Filthy Casuals boys, pack your bags, pack your little rucksack, make sure there's some money on that Mikey card because we are heading down to the Melbourne Convention Centre for PAX.
Yeah.
The Penny Arcade Expo.
I believe that's what it stands for.
So we'll hype this up. Good Games Michael Hing is involved in it. He comes
good
through.
Good bloke.
Good, great bloke.
Yeah.
Staying at my house on Wednesday night.
Because
you know what? He's coming down for, he's being flown down on the ABC coin to do a performance as part of Good Game.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks to himself, you know what? I'm going to get in a night early. Yeah. I'm going to try and do a stand-up gig.
Oh.
Nice.
You know what else he thinks?
To get that.
That's how this the Lord Michaels of Melbourne.
You know what else he thinks to himself? He thinks, you know what? Sure, I'm on Good ABC coin. I can probably afford a hotel.
Mm.
Fuck that. I'm going to hit up my friend Tommy Dasilo, who I know is in the middle of moving house. At the time that he asked me if he could stay with me, I literally didn't have a house. I was like, I'm homeless on that day.
You can sit with me on a park bench.
But sure, Michael, you're more than welcome.
Yep.
Heaven forbid you should spend $50 on a cheap hotel room.
Wow, this is not this is not good. This is the breakdown of a friendship.
I feel like if you were a true friend, what I just said to you would have been an episode of What's Bugging Ben. Like you, on my behalf, you should have been.
I didn't
offended.
Know about it though.
That's true. Anyway,
all right. Let's.
Anyway, Michael Hing, great guy. He hits us up. He listens to this show.
Yes.
This is where he gets his video game news from.
Yeah,
that goes on to Good Game.
Yeah, we're the insiders.
Yeah, we're his supplier. We're his mainline source. He hits us up. He's like, "How do you guys feel about going to PAX?" And we go, "Sure." Mm. He then, I don't know what kind of strings he pulled.
Well,
I'll be damned if he doesn't get us media passes within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So PAX, to be honest, I had to kind of, I didn't fully know what it was.
I still don't fully know.
I've never been to a convention or an anything.
Neither have I.
The Penny Arcade.
I've never been
that
to
it's,
an expo of any kind.
Neither.
The Penny Arcade that it's named after is like an online comic strip about games.
Yeah.
And it's now turned into a thing that, as far as I can tell, is part sort of trade show. I get the impression that there's like developers and stuff.
It's pretty
showing
big
off
in
their
America
wares.
I feel like in America it's a lot of indie games and it's a lot of developers meeting each other more than necessarily like an E3 type of, hey, this is us showing off our marketing.
It's
a lot more like industry insider.
It's that and
thing.
Then it's like playing the game. So there's like tournaments listed at different times. You are encouraged to bring your handhelds, your Nintendo DS's and stuff.
They
to
literally
play people
in the little press email said like, bring your stuff, man, because you're going to be in a line.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm really looking forward to that because I have a 3DS.
They said multiple times having a media pass does not grant you the right to cut lines. And then later on it said it in bold and red text.
Yes.
You do not get to cut lines. So I don't know what douchebags they've had showing up going like, excuse me, look at my lanyard.
It's probably bloody Michael Hing on that ABC.
Oh,
he's trying to swan his way to the front.
You know what we should do? So we're going to go. We're going to, we're going to get some content.
Absolutely.
We're going to bring a recorder. We're going to do some Vox Pops, interview people.
Yep.
We should just try and cut as many lines as we can. We should just try and flaunt that rule in the media pack.
You want to get
That'll
kicked
give
out.
Us the energy to go through packs.
Here's the thing, though. I've always found those things to be a little weird where you can apply for media accreditation if you run a blog or whatever.
Mm.
Who doesn't have a blog or a podcast at this point?
Yeah.
Is anyone paying to go to this thing?
The thing is, as well, like, This is PAX Australia, where like this is, I think this is one of the bigger video game things in Australia.
Yeah, and I think this one is actually targeted at consumers.
It is, yeah. It totally is. So they do want to show off what they have here, because it's really their only opportunity to get it in front of people's faces in this country.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to, like especially, I've never used a VR thing before.
Oh, me neither. Oh, yeah. So is that going to be there? Do you know? I assume so, right?
Yeah, of course. Like, surely, if you're setting
one up. Have you been on the website for more than 1 minute?
I have not. I read about 30% of that press packet they sent us.
Yep.
And then I went on Twitter and looked up the name of the porn star who is doing one of the panels.
Oh, yeah. There's a panel about like sex in gaming culture.
Yeah. And Tommy went, there's a porn star at one of them. I was like, which porn star? And I went and looked it up. Her name is Kim Cum. Which is such a like lazy name.
That sounds like one of the characters that you'd do for Lorne Michaels for your Saturday Night Live audition.
But no, like, I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thing. So I'm pretty keen to go to that.
You guys expressed a feeling of kind of dread.
I feel like it'd be real awkward.
Pans out. Yeah,
I think it would be an awkward thing.
That's exactly why I want to go.
It could be.
You love that cringe comedy, Tommy.
It's this podcast in a nutshell. It's sex and games.
Speaking of nutting.
What?
Yeah, speaking of nutting into a shell.
Wait a minute.
Fucked her.
I'm half on board.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Like none of us have ever been to anything like this before. But we're all very keen to see.
I signed off on you speaking on behalf of what I have and have not been to. You really know me very well at all.
I know your life.
Have you been to Comic Con or anything, Tommy?
You know what? I went to a comic convention when I was maybe like 12 years old. Oh. I can't think what it would have been.
Prepubescent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some hair starting. Anyway.
That special time in a boy's life.
I remember going to something, I think, at the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this comic. It was like an independent one by, I think, some Aussie dude. And it was like real rude. And my mum found me. It was like there was like a whole 6-page story about a guy fingering his butthole.
You bought a Mad magazine? What?
Anyway, my mum found me reading it and she got real angry.
Oh boy.
And she threw it out.
That was like me with my first Eminem album.
Oh really?
Yeah,
oh.
She threw that away because I was fingering my butthole.
Just preparing for Lorne.
So we'll
talk about that more when we've been.
Yeah, we'll go. Yeah. So we're gonna, and here's a bit of hype. Michael Hing is going to be on the show next week.
Yes.
He's going to come and chat to us. He'll have a lot of good stuff to say. And then the next episode after that will be our PAX wrap-up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get some good little sound bites.
Yeah. He's our first proper like video game employee. He's an employee in the video game industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few other cool panels on that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm hoping that Nintendo have stuff there. I'm hoping they have the new Star Fox.
Yeah,
that's likely.
Because it just, I don't know, man. It sounds like it's going to be a real mess. Everyone who's played it says that it's kind of fucked.
Yep.
Like, because you've got to, like on the TV, it's them making, I think we've talked about this already, but it's them making a big sort of last ditch effort to go,
get the gamepad involved.
The gamepad was worthwhile. And it's like,
the crazy thing is that they did that with Mario Maker though. Like they showed why the gamepad is so good with just a normal usage of it. Now they've got this crazy fucking like, it's you in the cockpit with the gamepad, but then the TVs are outside and they're both going to be worse because of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I kind of, like everyone who's played it just says it's just really tricky. It's really hard to go to switch between them. And like, I don't know, because you sort of just go, well then why have you got the TV on if you're just not looking at it? Like there's a
just like create a 3DS version. Like,
yeah, there's a Kirby game on the Wii U that's meant to be quite cool called the Rainbow Curse, I think it's called. And you use the gamepad to, Kirby's like a little ball and you use the gamepad to draw a little path for him.
Ramps and whatever.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, everyone just says, like, the graphics are really great, but you're just looking at it on this tiny gamepad.
Yeah.
And it's up on the TV, but it's kind of more fun to be someone just watching someone else play it.
Yeah.
Because you get, if you're just observing, you get to watch the TV, which is all big, and you really get to appreciate the graphics.
It's all big.
I've just moved down from the country. I'd never seen a TV before last night.
Can you get 7 Prime on this?
But again, it just seems like such an obvious thing. Like, you're just looking at the screen, you get your hand kind of in the way, you don't really get to enjoy these graphics.
It's sort of like, I watched a bit of footage of that new Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Which has, it's kind of cool. It's cooler than I thought it would be. It's got, like, you know, like FMV sort of thing where it's real people being filmed who were being your band.
Yeah, right.
And it's you know, meant to look like you're actually up there on the stage. And if you fuck up, they start looking real mad at you and stuff. And if you're doing well, they're like, rock on, dude. And all this stuff. But it's like with the old Guitar Heroes where you're just looking at this runway of notes coming at you. So you don't see any of that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of more for the people who are around you because it's like a party game, you know, like come here, have some beers, I'll play guitar in front of you.
I do find it funny that it's like Guitar Hero is back when it was like the biggest thing in the world for like a couple of years.
Yep.
And then they just, and then they bought out Rock Band.
Well, and everyone just kind of got sick of them all as
and
well.
Just became total oversaturation, and then you didn't hear anything about it for about 5 years, and then all of a sudden they've gone, all right, we're all ready for this again, aren't we?
But it's
the interest has completely evaporated.
The reason they left the first time isn't because they're like, we're done with the franchise.
They weren't Seinfelding it, going out on time.
we told them to fuck off. We kicked them out of our house, and then 5 years later they showed up. They're like, thank God I'm back, right?
I've had a makeover.
But now it makes more sense. It's sort of, now's a good time for it because with downloadable content is so easy to get. Like I had it, I had Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii and they didn't have any kind of option for downloadable content. So you had to, they would like, I think they bought out like an upgrade disc. But I remember that was one of the big criticisms of it, was that they'd bring out these new, you know, these new versions of the game where all it was just new songs. And it's like, you shouldn't need to go buy a new disc for just some, for just like 20 new tracks.
Yeah, and like the Beatles one came out and was like, oh, one of the like bass guitars looks like Paul McCartney's. Like,
yeah, okay, that's cool. Right. I remember
and
that.
And they've both gotten it a bit wrong this time around. Like they're so close. Like Rock Band 4 lets you bring all your old DLC in. That's fine. But then you still have to just buy the rest like normal. So it's like $2 a song or whatever still. Yeah. And then Guitar Hero is so close to getting it right where they've nearly got this Spotify thing of like there's two channels in it and like there's some songs that come on the disc and you can play them, but then there are two channels that you can jump into at any time and they're just like MTV or whatever. They're just playing music all the time.
Right.
And you just jump in and play whatever song happens to be on either of those channels at the time. Or you can buy coins to like buy a play of any of the songs, sort of like Spotify. Or you can spend $7 for 24 hours unlimited access. And that's just a bit too much.
Yeah.
This, like Spotify like Premium is like $15 a month or something. Right?
Yeah,
how much
less
is that?
Than that, I think.
And
so is this actually with Spotify or have they've just modeled it on that kind of thing? Okay, right.
And Rock Band 4 is like $500 for the full band thing and like $250 just for the guitar.
That's so ridiculous.
I don't feel... I mean, I loved Guitar Hero when it first came out.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero 3 was the first one I had. I gave it such a hammering. I fucking loved it so much. And I have no desire to go back in. I just feel like for me, it occupies a very specific time of my life. And I kind of, I don't know, I just have no, it's really cool and stuff. And I'm sure if I picked it up, I probably would, like,
it'd be fun
I probably
still,
would get back
I wonder,
in.
And I wonder if they're going, oh, there's a new generation of people who've never really.
Well, that's it. I mean, they've got those ads where they've got, it's James Franco and Lenny Kravitz in this ad for it. Which, you know what, man. I saw that ad start up and I thought, surely there's going to be some kind of joke or reference about how Lenny Kravitz got his dick out recently.
Like, did he?
Yeah, didn't you see that?
No, I didn't.
He was wearing these leather pants and he sort of dropped down.
Oh, yeah,
down
okay, I did see that actually.
His pants ripped right in the crotch and his dick just flopped out.
Yeah.
And so you sort of think, okay, here he is in this ad for this, you know, hip young video game.
Yep.
He's got James Franco with him.
Yeah.
A comedian.
Yep.
Surely that was such a big story, there's going to be some kind of reference to it.
Yeah, play into the meme.
I hope that's like DLC, like costume you can unlock. Just dick out Lenny Kravitz.
It's kind of weird that they expect, like, I've seen that ad and they're just both standing in one of their living rooms and like, man, fuck off Lenny Kravitz and James Franco hang out.
Yeah, definitely I know. Not. The weird thing of pairing two celebrities together and we just like
Franco and Rogan. Like,
exactly.
Someone,
if it was like, them, I'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. This is probably actually what they were going to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Lenny Kravitz would not have been there.
No. He can play a real guitar.
Yeah. And Lenny Kravitz looks like he's hating it the whole time as well because he is fucking up.
Yeah.
And James Franco's like, man, I thought you were a guitarist. He's like, I fucking am. Yeah. And I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Those weird celebrities in video game ads. Like, they had a. Like, Robin Williams named his son, his daughter Zelda.
Yeah.
And, like, they did ads together for the Nintendo. That's weird. Like, I just think, with the Guitar Hero thing, like, the other thing about the ad that I find so funny is, like, just really over it, like, going really over the top and explaining what it is. We get it. It's like you hold a guitar and you're playing it and it's on the screen. Like, who is this ad for that just has absolutely
guitar,
no concept of how video games work. Like anyone like that who needs it explained in that detail, they don't own a game system.
Yeah.
Does the guitar telephone the television people and they put it on the screen for me? How does this work?
Yeah. It's like with that new Tony Hawk. They tried
to meant to be terrible.
It's a fucking mess by all accounts.
Is that Tony Hawk 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently, like, there's some news thing that came out that, like, apparently the Activision's contract with Tony Hawk is up at the end of the year.
Right.
So they wanted to shove out another one as quick as possible.
Right.
Before that. But, like, again, those games went away because everyone was kind of like, yeah, man, fucking okay.
Yeah, yeah,
they were
similar,
really good at the time.
Yeah, it's a similar thing. Again, that just and occupied a very specific time of my life. Like, that's high school for me. Like, everyone at my school, we had laptops at my school. I went to a private school.
Fucking
and everyone
in
had this, like...
between investing, we play a little Tony Hawk.
Well, yeah, everyone had, like, a cracked version of Tony. Like, literally everyone had this, like, dodgy version of it that went around.
Yeah.
And yeah, great at the time, but I'd rather play something else.
It's also not a huge amount of change that you can make to it as well. So like, if you've gone in really hard back in the day, you can get 20 minutes of fun out of it now, whatever, but you're never going to recapture that, like, fuck, I'm going to...
And also, like, that was the period of time where skating was, like... just big. Like, it was just really big. Like, skating was big. Jackass was big.
Well, which is part of what made that series so fucked, is they ended up being like, you can play as Bam's dad.
Yeah.
And like, fuck.
Yeah. But that was that like 5 or 6 years where that kind of like peaked at about year 4 and then went down again. Yeah. And with that, the Tony Hawk games kind of just...
Who are they going to have as unlockable characters in this one? I reckon they should have. Have you guys seen...
I'll tell you who it is, actually. It's Lil Wayne.
Oh, really?
Really?
Lil Wayne's in it. And he has his own moves and shit.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen
Little
August
Wayne's
Mayhem?
A skater as well. August Mayhem.
All This Mayhem.
No, All This Mayhem.
It's a doco about this pro skater from Melbourne who basically he was like really huge in like the 90s. Like he was this really big competitive skater and he was like taking Tony Hawk on and beating him in all these competitions.
Yeah.
And the film paints a very unflattering portrait of Tony Hawk. And, and this guy ended up, he's had this really fucked life and he's like, he's fine now, but it would be cool if he was an unlockable character.
Yeah,
because it's sort of, this film has put him on the map. Anyway, completely unrelated to anything.
Is he?
Fans,
is he?
But
not
I really
the guy,
recommend checking it out.
There was that story about that someone was trying to do the, fuck, what is the big one? The 1080, the big trick that Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
like,
the 720. So there's a story in the film about how he reckons that he was practicing to do it, to try and be the first one to ever do it in competition.
Was it the 900 or the 720? Or was it? I guess it would have been the 720 first. Because I remember Tony Hawk's big one was the 900.
I think maybe it's the 900 then.
Yeah.
Whatever it was like no one had done it at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So this Pappas guy, he's practicing to do it.
Yeah.
They then show up to a comp and Tony Hawk goes, I'm going to have a crack at this. So he's like, what the fuck? Someone's leaked to him that you know that I'm doing this. He's like ripped off my idea. He's just tried to get in first to steal my thunder.
But
what
also, what fucking idea? I'm going to spin around one more time.
Yeah, that does
well, so
really
this is
kind
the thing.
Of
like they paint this pretty unflattering portrait of him in the film.
Yeah,
he wasn't He refused to be interviewed, which you sort of see that in a film, and you think, I always kind of read that as in a bit of an admission of guilt. Like if you didn't, but someone interviewed him about it, and he was like, I just couldn't be fucked dealing with it because it's all stuff from, you know, whatever, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And he responds to that and he goes, like, if you're working, if you're, like, trying to do that move in the world of skating, everyone knows about it. Yeah. It's not like anyone needed to leak it to me. Like, literally everyone knew he was trying to take it on.
Yeah.
So, like, but we were all trying to take it on because it's, like, one of the few tricks that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
So if you're serious about doing it, as I was, why wouldn't I just have a crack at doing it?
Yeah.
Anyway, well worth checking out.
Yep.
Tony Hawk. So this new one is out, right? And I saw a video of some dudes from a website playing it, and it's apparently it's just like super buggy.
Yeah.
The controls are all fucked. There's like the grind button is the same as... It's the same button to grind and do something else.
There's it's like a slam down move where it'll like bring you out of the air really quick.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It looks shitty. And like, even if it wasn't all buggy and stuff, it looks shitty anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to having a crack at the PAX Festival next weekend. What is there anything like coming down the pipeline that you guys are excited to have a crack at PAX?
Fallout 4, if it's on, you know, if it's available.
I doubt it would.
But it's going to be released in like 2 weeks. So
it probably will be then. They usually do. Like those kinds of things, like at E3, they always end up showing off games that have like just come out like a month ago.
Totally, but then why would you go and have a look at that if there's something that's not out for 6 months next to it?
I don't know that I like this attitude, Adam.
Yeah, no, I'm all about the future. I'm all about looking forward and never looking back. You don't know my past. Anyway.
I like to live in the moment.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, we've got all three kinds.
So Fallout 4, it's out in 2 weeks. Again, yep. This is another series that I'm not very familiar with. I've never played one of these games.
Yep. Well, I've only played Fallout 3 and 4. Three in New Vegas. Right. Sorry, yeah.
They're shooting games, right?
Yeah, they're shooting. They're RPGs.
They're RPGs from back in the day. So Fallout 1 was like in the style of, it was like an isometric RPG.
Like kind of like a Diablo-y view.
Baldur's Gate or something like that. You know, that sort of thing. And yeah, that was in like 96 and it was very much of that style. Like it's quite hard from memory. I played it once years ago.
Yeah.
Their advertising is very weird. Like it's that, I just saw a poster on the way here. They're like 50s style little illustration of the,
so it's,
dude, it's like, if it's, from an outsider's perspective, it's like, what is this?
Yeah. What it is within the thing is like, it's this alternate world where like the sort of 60s Cold War scare of nukes never went away.
Yeah.
And then hundreds more years go past and they develop AI and all this stuff, but it's still like this weird, like kind of like 50s throwback America.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
they're still listening to vinyls and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then after that, the bombs all drop and you're living in the post-apocalyptic future of this other like 50s world.
Yeah.
One and two were like those isometric sort of RPGs, and then three was very different, made by Bethesda, who did like the Elder Scrolls, like Skyrim and stuff. Yep.
So it changed developers.
Yes, okay, and it changed type of game a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well. Like it's
still
an RPG, but it's kind of with shooter mixed in.
And kind of Grand Theft Auto style when they went 3D.
Yeah, I've heard I've heard the second one is the best game. Like it's the best written. Which apparently, like the story is pretty good. Like it's important. It's like rich. It's interesting.
The world is certainly interesting and like the broader story, like the main story in 3 is like Liam Neeson's your dad and he's trying to make some water.
Yeah.
And it's kind of flat.
Yep,
and
pretty
much. There's some stuff because you can go anywhere and do whatever like Skyrim or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really weird, interesting stuff you'll see out in the world.
Mm.
And 4 is going to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
it looks good.
I think so. Yeah.
And they've said they've like ramped up the shooter aspect of it more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, because in 3, so what happens is it's a first-person shooter slash RPG, but what happens is like you'll see an enemy out in the wasteland and you can just, you know, have a crack or you can press like V, like on PC.
Give it a go.
Yeah. You can press V.
Command button, just have a crack.
If I was bloody developing it, that's what I would say.
Yeah. B is have a try. There's no fail button. Look, just always fucking give it a go.
Give it a nudge.
You never know. You never win it if you're never in it. That's what I reckon.
Now engaging red hot crack mode.
Fucking all right then.
Oh, one more. And if you don't want to give it a crack, you can press
a button.
You're
not fucking Australian.
Good morning, Fallout.
Oh, yes. You press a button and it goes into, it freezes and it zooms in on your target and it goes, do you want to go for their chest, their head, their leg, blah, blah, blah. It has percentage options on each one. And you have like a certain amount of action points.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got like 4 or 5, like however, you know, whatever level you are. You can be like, I'll go once for the head, twice for the chest. Head, you know, if I get it, that's a critical hit. But the chest is bigger, so, you know, it's probably going to do some damage. And
how
then
are you, in a real-world scenario, how is the enemy not just blown your head off at this point?
Well, yeah, it's kind of...
You're sitting there just going, how should I take them out, I wonder?
One moment.
Let's weigh up the percentages.
Your legs don't look particularly strong.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they've kind of done with 4, is it, rather than it freezing, it's like a slow-motion kind of bullet time mode rather than that.
Time.
So they're leaning more into...
Remember the world before bullet time?
Oh, what a glorious place.
What a world I like living in.
What a glorious phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Glorious bastards.
Oh! So yeah, 3, it's... The shooter elements were poorly integrated. It's not a good shooter, but it was an interesting enough RPG. And yeah, you could do anything.
Mm-hmm. And the world is real fucking interesting.
Yes.
And you can go all over it. And there's some really good things to it. And then New Vegas people liked... the world and stuff more so than 3, I think. A lot of people. I wasn't really sold on it.
So what are we talking for 4? Is there... People are hyped for it? People are looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Have they done a bit of a revamp? What's the vibe on it?
Well,
not so much of a revamp.
No, it just looks like a better
They've
graphics.
Already done the revamp and now this is consolidating it.
3-2.
Yeah, okay,
It's totally just a follow-up to that, which is cool because 3 was great.
Yeah.
The really interesting thing they're doing that I know is on the Xbox and I don't know if it's on the
PlayStation 4, but it obviously is on PC, is there's going to be mod support on Xbox One.
Oh, right.
So, you know how on the PC, like, there's lots of mods, and, like, for Skyrim, there were millions, and it's mostly, like, anime porn.
No, what are mods? Like,
okay, if mods are just, like, you know how, like, fuck, I've never had to explain mods before. It's things that people who didn't make the game make to change the game.
Oh, yeah, so, you know, like
how in Doom a lot of people made, like, now you're shooting Barney the dinosaur.
Skin and stuff. Exactly.
And for, like, things like Skyrim or, like, even Grand Theft Auto series and Fallout, it's like people will make new storylines. But they'll use the game source code to create another chapter or whatever.
User-made stuff.
Like we were talking last time about that weird thing of all those old PC games where they do like a Christmas edition.
Running around
in the snow.
And it's just, you know, everyday people. Well, not everyday people. Weird fucking people who are going to sit down and do this, you creeps.
Yeah.
But no, they're great. A lot of them are really good. Sometimes, like Counter-Strike was a mod.
Yeah.
Started as a mod.
Okay. So you'll be able to do this on Xbox. And is that
you'll
like
be able to play them on the Xbox? Right. People will still have to make them on the PC, but they're like, and I don't.
But is that pretty? That's pretty big for. That's a big.
Yeah,
that's
huge.
For
it's
a console.
The first time
like, yeah,
I
okay.
know of that it's ever happened.
Right. Yes,
which is pretty crazy, and it's going to make it ideally because they haven't been real obvious with how they're going to do it, like whether or not they're going to filter through them and choose the ones they like.
Sure,
and put them on. I'm assuming there'll be some of that because like it's got to be pretty difficult to put them on a thing, but it'll kind of make this like Mario Maker element.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 where there's like an infinite amount of it hypothetically.
That's pretty cool.
The not cool side is that there's not a lot of good mods. There's
like
a lot
said,
of shit
like
ones.
For Skyrim, because it's by the same people, most of the mods genuinely are like, here's an anime cat girl with a penis.
Yeah.
And you can play as her instead.
Yeah.
It's like the nude code for Tomb Raider.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
Yeah, this is not good.
It's always boobs and like there's real like creepy ones where it's like clean faces. There's one called Clean Faces for Skyrim.
Right.
Where, like, the faces
I thought you were improvising
dirty.
That. What the
no,
fuck is that
it's
mean?
It's a real one. It's like all the faces in Skyrim look a bit too dirty. Download this if you want them to look cleaner.
Oh boy.
God.
Yeah.
It is weird. Like that is an interesting thing. Like you compared it to Mario Maker before. I haven't checked in with Mario Maker for a little bit because I've been moving house and all my stuff is in boxes. But, you know, again, it's been really interesting because sort of watching that unfold where it's like this thing just goes up and it's all just community based.
Mm.
And, you know, the last sort of things I read about it were people going, yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot of shit out there. And there's a level that's just real bad. That's real. It's literally just like you walk to the finish line is like right in front of you.
Yeah.
And it was like real high up. I read this on the website Kotaku.
Yeah.
Where. Yeah, so this writer had found this level and it's shit, but it's like got this really high ranking.
Mm.
He's like, why is this? Why have so many people played this? And the name of it in Japanese basically translates to, if you play this, I will go and like all of your courses that you've made.
Fuck. So,
which is
good morning, dickheads.
Which is impossible to do. Like the number of people that have played, there's no way he could have done that. But like.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just that thing of, like, in theory, this whole, like, community thing is so cool. But it's been really interesting sort of watching the whole Mario Maker thing unfold and sort of
deal with
these
human nature.
About, like, is this good? Like, has this been a good experiment? Because it's all in people's hands and it's all dependent on people having actual good ideas. And
I mean, the real problem with that is that Mario Maker has shitty search tools. Like, you can't... I mean, it's either top-ranked... or random, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you go like onto the internet and find people posting.
Yeah,
their
I mean, I guess
codes.
With the mod thing on Fallout, I mean, you know, like, sure, you can potentially have access to an unlimited amount, but realistically, if it's like a new storyline or like an addition or whatever, only like in terms of your own experience with it, only like five of them need to be great.
Exactly.
Yeah, realistically. Yeah. Like, you're
that's
not,
true.
You don't have the time to do all. It's nice to think, I can play this forever, but you don't.
You're not going
to. You don't need that amount.
I think the reason that I'm skeptical is because, like, in the history of mods, there's been, like, two great ones over all games.
That's not true. There's been heaps and heaps.
Like, great ones.
Yeah, no, there have been plenty of really good ones. But a lot of the time they're really obscured because they're, you know, made by a small group of people and only a small group of people have a look at them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool about this, that it will bring those sort of things
well, that,
in
hope,
front
yeah.
of more people's
that
eyes.
That would be good. And I guess, I think the barrier for me has been, like, how do I install this? How do I actually get this to work?
Totally. And this will just be a list and you hit the button and it's done.
So that'd be really cool.
There's no
so
scary...
So what are you guys doing? Are you going in day one? Are you camping out overnight at EB Games and playing $125? Are you going to get the collector's edition?
Oh, here we go. Big boy edition.
They released,
yes, sir.
I believe... Wait, hang on. The fanboy, big boy, hello boy edition.
It's good enough for me.
I like it. I actually think, so in Fallout, maybe the older series, I don't know, but in 3, definitely in New Vegas, what your like menu system is like a wrist-mounted thing called a Pip-Boy, and it's basically like a little computer on your wrist, and you cycle through, you know, your maps and your
weapons
and
stuff. It's like an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
It's like a giant...
I get it, Adam.
Yeah. They're called wearables.
29. I understand things.
They're called wearables. What you do is you go, okay, Fallout, into your wrist, and then it'll tell you where to go kill yourself.
Yeah. But so, yes, they've released, I believe, a pre-order Fallout 4 Collector's Edition with a real-life Pip-Boy that works somehow.
Wow. Like, no, you jam your iPhone in it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then it's actually kind of cool. It's just a little plastic mount for your iPhone on your wrist, basically.
Oh boy.
But they've made an app for the game so that you can use that in the game with your iPhone outside of the game.
Oh boy.
If anyone walked in on me doing that, I would fucking jump out the nearest window. But like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
These collector's edition things we were saying before we went into all this crap where it's like you get the game in a metal box with a little statue of the character.
Yeah.
It's like,
here's it's some embarrassing. Fucking baseball cards for you. They're just half the shit is garbage.
Yeah,
and it's always at a shop like EB Games, which charges like
$190.
Like, just go and get it for half the price at JB Hi-Fi, and don't get the fucking figurine, the golden figurine.
JB Hi-Fi, if you're listening, sponsorship opportunity.
Oh,
jump on board.
I mean, Mamma Mia, that would just be fantastic. Very quickly. This is something I'm very excited to see at PAX.
Yes.
They're having a presentation of a whole bunch of new Uncharted stuff.
Oh, cool.
I'm a big fan of the Uncharted games.
Oh, fucking cool, actually. Yeah,
that'll be cool. I think it's in the theatre area, so it's going to be like a big screening of a bunch of stuff. I hope it's some stuff that we haven't previously seen.
Yeah,
like
awesome.
Them playing. Just you go in and it's just on the screen, it's just a guy's desktop and he just goes onto YouTube and just like plays the E3 trailer. But in like low res and like the Wi-Fi signal's really bad, so it's all grainy.
It's just the little thing is spinning in the middle. Oh, no, we want to watch it at 1080 though. Let's wait.
I'm very bad at finishing games. Like, I'm really bad at finishing them. And Uncharted 2 is, I could count them on one hand, the number of games I've finished. And
so
one of them.
This kind of ties into what I've been playing this week, which is Tomb Raider, the reboot thing from 2013.
Oh, yeah. In what way does that tie in?
Well, you like Uncharted?
Yeah.
Have you seen Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Join the two together and hello, my name is Tomb Raider.
Good morning. Oh no, you said that one already.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah. But I've been playing that lately, and actually, it's not as good as Uncharted. I'll just say that right up top.
I did hear good stuff at the time, though.
I'd say it's almost as good as Uncharted.
Nah. Okay,
Is it as good as the film starring Angelina Jolie?
It is 100 times better than that, I suppose.
Yeah,
but like, so it's a whole reboot of the series.
Is the song Elevation in it?
Fuck, no, actually. I've forgotten that's...
That'd be great. Title screen. Yeah.
It's one of those
that
ones
that just plays anytime you pick up
you'd bring
anything
it
in the game.
Yeah.
Just Bono, just doing that screeching.
You know that song, Here Comes the Boom?
No.
Boom, here comes the boom. Better you're not. There's a game whose name I forget, but it's an NFL game from like the late 2000s. Where every time you go to kick the ball at the start of a play, it plays that song.
Great.
Every time. Boom! Here comes the boom!
That's right. Great.
If they
Can
had
I
it
just like, say, speaking of songs, the listeners out there, if you ever get a chance to see Adam Knox do karaoke, you should jump at that opportunity. Because we all did karaoke on Thursday night.
We certainly did.
You have a beautiful voice, Adam. I'm being completely serious. You're a really good singer.
Yeah. That's very nice of you. I'll sing Elevation.
Knox and I often sing
next time.
Knox and I often sing together.
What do you mean? Just not even at karaoke?
No, at karaoke. We're often like too embarrassed
Noxie,
to do it solo.
What are you doing?
Anything I could do, you could do.
But I don't have nearly the range that Knox has. And so we do like Queen songs and stuff. And I just can't get that high.
Yeah.
But he's a good singer. You should check him out.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. But listen, Tomb Raider, right? Yeah. So
It's pretty good. It's like a third person action game like Uncharted. There's a mix of shooting and sort of jumping around the environment like
bit
Uncharted.
Of puzzles. Mm-hmm.
The biggest difference from Uncharted for me is that they fucking love beating her up.
Yes.
Like right. a weird amount.
Yes.
Okay, it's got right. some of the most graphic fucking death animations I've ever seen.
Yeah. So like, that was when it came out, it was, oh, this is surprisingly good. Wow, they really like to fuck her up with spikes and shit.
I'd heard that at the time and I was like, fuck off with violence and video games bullshit. But man,
yeah,
right.
it is brutal.
Especially
and
because
needless
they do a pretty good job of creating, like crafting her character.
It's like, okay. Like it's, I don't know. It's She's yeah. like better than definitely just like Ninja in a boob tube, yeah. like 90s version
yeah.
Tomb Raider. Lara Croft, yep. like,
I mean, it's not, you know,
a young architect who's like on her first expedition, and this is her like origin story, and
yep.
you know, she's like scared of killing people at first and stuff, and it's pretty cool,
yep.
But yeah, like,
is there like deep, is it similar to Uncharted? In the one, my one complaint of Uncharted is all these goddamn cutscenes that you're sitting through. After everything happens, yeah. just like get me in there.
There's,
you know what I mean?
There's a lot less of that, yeah. but then also the action is nowhere near as good as
right.
Uncharted.
That is
it
true.
Kind of, it kind of takes me out of it a bit when you just get to a point and it's like, oh, here I am now, I'm meeting my friend, and now we're flying over here, and now all this stuff's happened, and now yeah. this has happened. Anyway, game starts now. You take it
there's,
away.
There's
and
less of that.
So I don't feel like I'm super in this experience. Like I feel like I'm just being dropped in kind of at random points, which I think is a bit of a
kind of a weird halfway point where there's not that much like story cutscene stuff, but a lot of the action happens in just sort of quick time event things where, you know, X will just pop up on the screen and you got to hit that.
Right.
And yeah. That's
oh.
very...
Oh, you got to hit that, all right.
oh, boy.
You got to honk that X button, fam.
Who up? up.
But, like, that's a pretty uninteresting way of dealing with, like, this really cool-looking thing where she's falling down the side of a cliff and, yeah. like, this plane's chasing after her and stuff. And then it's just like, all right, now hit Y. Oh, you did it. Good on you, boy.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
You know, it's not...
There's a lot of sliding down a hill and going left, right, dodging
that's
the spikes.
That's when the most
stuff.
Fucked up death yeah. one comes where, like, if you run into a thing, this fucking spike will just jam her through the bottom of the jaw.
Boy.
And, like, yeah. she'll be, like, convulsing on it and going... And, like, the actress is really good because she really sounds in pain. But then, like, it's weird, man, because, like, you're walking through this, like... There was this one bit where you're walking through this, like, tight corridor with lots of hot pipes, lots of steam coming out, like, yep. really hot. And... The camera's pulled up right up close and it's like, man, fuck, she's in pain with those boobs of hers.
Yeah.
Boy, she's in agony. Oh, what a tank top.
Yeah.
And it just feels a little skeezy.
A little weird, yeah. yeah.
But and it's definitely a lot better than the older ones where, like, she's a person now, which is kind of
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But it's got this weird torture porn aspect to it that is
yeah.
uncomfortable.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
What would you, let me ask you this. What would you say, what's in your, not necessarily your number one, but what's your top video game that you've, gaming experience?
I fucking love or The one Last of Us. Which
oh, yeah, yeah, that was great.
Yeah, people.
Yeah.
That was very good. That's the one I liked the most in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would agree
you
with that.
How the remastered one came out like a year after.
I played them both.
Yeah. What I'm playing of Tomb Raider is the definitive edition.
Right.
Big Boy Gamers Collector's definitive edition.
Yeah.
It came out for free on the Xbox One. But it's just because we went through that change of the generation and like there's a lot of games that came out quite close to the end of when people were selling. And also... So many people bought PS4s that didn't have PS3s.
Yeah.
I guess there's a reason for it. But a lot of them are just like, let's make a little bit of
well,
money.
Well, I said the other day, as I mentioned before, I've moved house and my housemate the other day, my new housemate was floating the idea of him buying a PS4.
Yep.
I'm very keen for this to happen.
Yeah.
Because I want to play and I can't afford to buy one myself.
You'll be able to save your money and get one of them Big Boy Collectors
edition. Yeah.
I think for, what's one of your top ones, Ben?
Definitely The Last of Us for the recent years.
Yeah.
I never finished
that. I should, again, I feel like I'm only like halfway through it.
Yep. Fuck, what else?
It's fucking great, man. That's the best
one. Probably Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's, you know what one of mine is? Resident Evil 4.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was that the one in Africa?
No, that was 5.
Right.
4 was
4 is
Spain?
Like...
Right?
It's yeah, like 4 is like you're in the countryside and going to these weird castles and stuff. It was on the GameCube initially, which, again, very weird for a Nintendo system to have... I used to play it like at night with all the lights off and it's fucking terrifying. Yeah. Like it's actually scary as shit. And that's what I liked about Last of Us, kind of took me back to that where you're in those like
abandoned
buildings and there's this one monster in Resident Evil 4 that fucks you up. Basically, if it comes at you, if it gets near you, you're done. Like,
is
if it touches you, just
spike
rips.
Guy or the
I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically it's got this weird noise that it makes.
Yeah.
So you'll be just like walking around, and it's like silence, and then you just hear it coming. And
you
then
gotta
within
use, like,
a
the infrared scope.
Yeah,
to,
within
yeah.
2 seconds, ooh, you're fucked. You are right. gone. And it, oh man,
the sound
such a great experience. That's also one of the only games that I've gotten to the end of. That's
right.
Like.
There's a really good Wii version of that where like the aiming on with the Wii control was actually really good. I played that and I like the sound effects from that were really good. Well, I don't know if they were good or just memorable. Like,
yeah.
For fucking, this is true, for months afterwards when I was going to sleep, sometimes I would get that. Co-headlock.
You know, like those
fucking, I would remember that and go, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I like that when you finished it, you'd unlock this like bonus mode where you're just like in a farmhouse and it's like, how many of these zombies can you take out in a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
I remember really liking like at the start, you're just in the bush. You're just like, you've gone bush.
Yeah.
You just,
oh, yeah.
You're up there looking for porno mags.
Just giving it a crack.
That some older kids have left behind. And you walk along and you find a little dog in a trap.
Yeah.
And you can let him out. You just get it, like the action button is just like, let the dog out. And you press that button and the dog just like runs off.
Mm.
It's like, what the fuck was the point of that? And then not long after that, you're in your first boss battle, which is this big monster thing. And halfway through, the dog like comes in and helps you, which I just thought was, he doesn't really do much. He just gets fucking the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
By the monster.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was such a cool thing that like you get the option of doing this. You don't have to do it to advance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a cool little like, oh, he comes back and oh, now he's dead. That's
one of my other ones I just remembered. One of my favorite gaming experiences recently is Bioshock Infinite, which ties into what I've been playing recently.
Well, that's handy.
Which is the first Bioshock game, which I never played.
Right.
And I thought I'd read a little
excerpt.
Would you
kindly explain to us what Bioshock is?
Well, I want to read this thing from this review on IGN from when it came out, which is, I think, 07 or something.
Yeah.
So, to call this game simply a first-person shooter, a game that successfully fuses gameplay and narrative, is really doing it a disservice. This game is a beacon. It's one of those monumental experiences you'll never forget, and the benchmark against which games for years to come will and indeed must be measured. This isn't merely an evolution of System Shock 2, which was an older game.
Very good.
Oh, but I remember System Shock.
Very good.
System Shock, actually, I'll let you finish and then I'll chime in.
All right.
Go right ahead, Ben.
But a wake-up call to the industry at large. Play this and you'll see why you should demand something more from publishers and developers. More than all these derivative sequels forced down our throats year after year with only minor tweaks in their formulas. It's a shining example of how it's possible to bring together all elements of game design and succeed to the wildest degree.
Wow.
Imagine talking like that.
Would that guy like a new paintbrush for laying it on a bit thick?
Cool.
Jesus Christ.
Good morning, cunt.
Good morning, Dulux.
Veritable smorgasbord.
Yeah.
When you're reading stuff out loud, you sound very simple.
I'm not wearing my glasses, so I was trying
it
very hard.
Like a kid in like doing show and tell, like reading out anyway.
In summary, A Tale of Two Cities is more than A Tale of Two Cities, but a tale of two people.
Thank you. Because I'm not wearing my glasses, I was reading it word to word, so I didn't really know
what do you mean?
Happen.
What's the other way of reading
it? Yeah, like say it a whole sentence and
you know when you read
formulating?
The end of the sentence and go backwards?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, memento-y.
Exactly. Yeah. Call me Guy Pearce.
Fun very is mementoing. Doesn't matter.
Fuck, I had a shitty joke when I did stand up that was that. It was like,
I think he had
movie good
one,
is
anyway.
A memento.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, sorry?
Movie good is a memento. No, movie good is memento. Whatever.
It. How many times did you do that?
Enough to learn not to do it anymore.
So, one.
You kept forgetting, but then it was tattooed on your arm saying, don't do memento joke.
That would have been a good tag.
Memento would make a cool video game. Like something like that where it's like missions, but they go, like you don't quite know why you're doing the missions.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so Bioshock, it apparently it's very good.
Yeah.
And it is. It's great. It's
How far in are you?
A little bit over halfway.
Okay.
So just quickly, because I again, this is another franchise that I do not know much about at all.
Yeah.
Is it the people that made System? Is it an upgrade of System Shock?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
It's like a spiritual successor type of thing.
Is it made by the same people?
Yes.
Because I remember I sort of meant to bring this up last week to tie into like all that Jazz Jackrabbit stuff and all the shareware games.
Yeah.
I had System Shock in that era where gaming magazines. By the way, I can't believe I was in a newsagent the other day at the airport, and there are still a lot of video game magazines that get published.
Really?
I cannot believe that they haven't fallen by the wayside. That's in this era, a medium of being able to watch actual footage.
Like 1080p video.
The day it gets announced. Yeah. Instead, you're waiting month to month to see a grainy printed screenshot.
I used to always get Hyper.
Yep, same.
I got Hyper,
it was really good.
I got PC Power Play.
And one thing they did is they like put a little bit of their personalities into it, which I guess maybe they still do, which is why you might
I used to get still the get Nintendo it. Magazine system, which was the official Nintendo magazine. And wouldn't you know it, all of the Nintendo games miraculously got 10 out of 10. It was just propaganda. But anyway.
A lot of good Nintendo games.
Yeah, sure.
But
the reason I bought up magazines and stuff, I used to get PC magazines that would have a little disc on the front of them. That era of stuff, that was kind of, I think, the last time it was relevant. And I had, I got a demo of System Shock on a PC gaming magazine.
Yeah,
and
right.
Just thought, wow, this is so cool. Like, you go and just buy a magazine from the shop and you can just, like, play a little bit of the game that they're talking about. It's kind of a real bummer that that's gone
demos
away.
Demos are just like, fucked off now.
I mean, they do. Yeah. Nintendo never used to do it, and now they've gotten, now and then. I think if it's a title that they're feeling real dodgy about, like if they're feeling a little on the fence, they'll sneak out a demo onto the eShop.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anything else, like Mario Kart, they go, fuck you, you're going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Play Mario Kart 7, you know what Mario Kart 8 is.
Yeah. Actually, no, you know what? They did it with Smash Brothers on the 3DS. They brought out a little demo where you could just play as like full characters.
People probably were a little iffy on the 3DS
I guess, anyway, so BioShock.
Yeah, so Infinite, I remember it kind of coincided with me having like a good gaming PC again. And, like, the trailers and stuff were amazing. Like, the visual, like, art style was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, this sounds like it looks great. It sounds great. I'm going to do it. And, yeah, like, went on that. And that is a very, very good game. Some people are, it's a bit, like, it's kind of divisive in terms of its kind of weird story. And the fact that what I've learned now is the gameplay is pretty much a slightly watered down version of the original BioShock,
which there's about 6 years in between the release of the two of them.
Yeah,
as well, so.
Right. But it is a BioShock Infinite is a beautiful game with a really good story.
So
and,
can I ask you a question? Did you finish Infinite?
Yes.
Okay.
I did.
So this is going to be spoilers for anybody who hasn't finished Infinite.
Yeah.
Just in case you're enough of a douche to worry about that.
Boy.
The ending of Infinite takes place in a bit of the part of the first one, right?
Yes, that is correct.
That would have meant virtually nothing to you at the time, right? Did you play either of the two like story DLC things that came out for Infinite?
No.
Don't play them until you finish one.
That was kind of what I felt like. I felt like, I played through this. It made me want to play the first one.
Yeah.
But I was like, I've got to play the first one. This obviously ties together. And you initially think like, oh, BioShock Infinite, just, you know, it's a separate game. And then you're like, oh, there's like Easter eggs initially, and then it's like, boom.
It's full on
tied in.
So these are, to explain them for you, Tommy, they're shooters,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of pretty story focused, but no cutscenes or anything really. It all just sort of happens in game, mostly through like little, it's kind of cheap the way they do it a lot of the time. It's the same in System Shock, where you'll just find a little recording of someone who's like, I've been on the run for 3 days and I better take the time to record this, but oh no, they're coming.
or like
a lot of that.
But some of them are just kind of like very innocuous, kind of like just diary recordings that happen to play into the story. Like
Adam Innocuous.
That was a long Stretch Armstrong style stretch.
Stretch Armstrong. Cool toy.
Yeah. I never had one. I kind of wanted one.
Me neither.
We should have been friends
private
when
school.
We all had one at private school.
Yeah,
fuck. We had to get one. It was on the syllabus.
Yeah. so they're shooters with good story elements. So the first game that I'm, a bit over halfway through, I think you're in a plane at the start and you crash and you go underwater.
You don't even know for sure.
I can't remember.
It's the same
exact beginning as Castaway.
Right.
You're on a plane and you crash.
Yeah.
Then everything else is very different.
Yeah, then you get kind of sucked into this underwater world.
Oh, the suck.
It's, you get it. and it's this kind of like ultra-capitalistic, like Ayn Randish, like
Free market.
There's one guy who's kind of like this engineering genius has built this paradise, this quote unquote paradise that has at some point before you arrive gone to absolute shit.
Right.
Everyone's gone insane and you're just kind of, you're basically trying to get out.
There's like this drug called Adam, which is my name.
Yes.
That they all started taking that gave them like strong powers.
Yeah.
And they all got quite addicted to it and they're all kind of fucked up from it.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. There's like a bunch of like the greatest minds in the world and they've like created these plasmids, which
plasmids, that's
in BioShock Infinite has more of a,
turn it like a early 20th century kind of like World's Fair kind of vibe,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of drink these I forget what they're called.
Are they elixirs or there's some kind of
something
word
like that.
It's like some early 20s, like there's secretly cocaine in this type
right,
word.
Yeah, right. but they give you special powers, and so in BioShock the original one, they're just like, you know, tonics, whatever, and they allow
tonics is what they are in Infinite, actually. Yeah,
right, and they allow you to shoot electricity or
bees,
shoot
Do
bees,
you have the bees one,
hypnotize some of the enemies, you know, just those kind of things. They're really cool.
Yeah,
and so you have them as powers. You also have guns and stuff, and so the combat is actually pretty sophisticated. It's mm-hmm. figuring out how they all work together. Sometimes there'll be water, so if you electrocute someone, it'll, you know, amplify it. There'll be oil slicks, so there's, you know, environmental stuff that plays into the combat as well.
Yep.
And so the story kind of unfolds naturally as you're kind of trying to make your way out of this underground, like underwater fucking weird city. And it's also kind of scary as well.
Cool.
It's kind of a tense,
yeah,
kind
the first
of
one was very spooky.
Yeah.
Well, because System Shock 2 was the only one I played, but that was fucking terrifying when I was, you know, quite younger. That was one of the games where it got so into my head. I remember going to an airport. And there are security cameras in System Shock 2. I might have mentioned this before, but anyway, you're meant to shoot them as soon as you see them in System Shock 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw a security camera at the airport, and my finger just twitched. It started twitching.
That happens to me when I've played a lot of Uncharted. Like, any room I go into, I'm like, I could get good coverage behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon I could scale this.
I remember the one thing I remember about System Shock, the demo that I had from the front of that PC magazine that I keep harping on about.
you talk about
clearly
it like
the greatest day of my life.
Yes.
With the amount of times that I bring it up.
When there's been like someone locked in a cabin because it's snowed under and they just had a copy of like fucking Harry Potter 3. They come out and they're like, this is just like Sirius Black. They lose their minds to that book.
I remember like early on, all I really remember is you're just kind of like walking around this place and you're by yourself and then you find a crowbar and that's your first weapon. And as a kid playing it and being like, this is so fucking badass.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever actually came up against any enemies in the demo though.
Similar in BioShock, you get a wrench.
You get a wrench.
Yeah, they're great though. If you haven't played any of the BioShock games, definitely start.
Apparently,
with
Apparently, 2 is not. It's more like an expansion for 1, kind of, or something.
It's definitely a continuation of 1, and there's this thing called Minerva's Den for it, which is like a DLC thing that I haven't touched, but is apparently very good.
Mm. And I've heard the DLC for BioShock Infinite is really good as well. So
it's great. Cool. And it kind of makes BioShock Infinite retroactively more interesting with what it does to the story,
right?
And especially if you've played 1.
Yeah. Infinite is it is one of my favorite games I've ever played. There's a lot of cool gameplay stuff with that, I can talk about another time.
Cool.
Yeah, because we're running out of time.
I'm thinking of going in maybe this week on the 3DS game Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I've heard good things about. It's a new Zelda game.
Yeah.
It's one of those like weird kind of spin-offy sort of ones that they do where it's like not
Four Swords, right? Was the one
So it's sort of like it's meant to be played. There apparently is a quite decent single player mode in it. But you play, there's like three of you and they're all sort of like, it's all just sort of like puzzles that are designed for
three
of you to be able, co-op.
Yeah. Yep.
Which again, you know, one of the things I'm most looking forward to about PAX is taking my 3DS along and,
I
kind of think it's almost worth getting that game to just like maybe just go and play it with people at PAX.
Because,
like I saw it announced, I was like, that looks really cool, but I have two friends who have 3DSs, who listen to the show.
Hello.
G'day, Levins. G'day, Angus.
G'day, boys.
But they both live in Sydney, right? And so,
there's no
online. Well, maybe
online.
I've heard
online is a little shonky.
All right. Maybe we can, if we both get it, then we can, like, get a third rando and interview them for the show.
You've got one, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a 3DS as well.
Do you really?
Yeah, so.
Wow. We didn't even have to go to PAX.
We're learning something. There's three of us. We should all get the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know, money's a bit tight now.
So I'm looking forward to that, to playing that. I might go in on that. I've been playing a bit more of Earthbound since last time we talked. Now, I had a couple of complaints about it, mainly the whole, just, you know, that are more complaints of the RPG sort of system as a whole.
Yes, yeah.
The tedious kind of...
It was interrupting you, right? Like a little...
The little fights that you have to do with just...
Yep.
Just... animals in the bush, which is kind of a bummer. Since playing that, I've kind of leveled up a bit. And now what it does is if I get attacked by a snake or whatever, because I'm at a certain level, the fight just ends immediately. So
right.
The thing hits me and a little animation goes for like, oh, we're about to go into a fight. But then it doesn't even go into that screen. It just goes, you won.
Oh, fuck.
So it kind of just fucks it off at a certain point. Which is, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah,
that it does that.
Yep.
I will also say, as much as I'm still kind of on the fence about the combat, the thing that's cool about it is because the character design is so cool and it's so quirky. That's kind of overriding, to a certain extent, my frustration.
Right. Okay.
With the combat system.
So you're more interested in seeing the weird little things.
Yeah. So I was fighting this. There's this like, I'm so early on in it. Like, if anyone's played it and listening, it's embarrassing how early on I am. But I've just like taken on this gang and I've just gotten to the, like, you have to fight all his cronies and then you find him out the back of a store and you have to fight him. And he is like this rockabilly looking dude. And so like, the music for when you fight him, he like slides into the screen. The music's like kind of like Wipeout-ish, like it's like this real rockabilly kind of like music. And the little text that comes up for the fights is all kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, that being said, you know, I still haven't, I played it for, I went to Perth the other weekend and I played it like for almost the whole flight.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't beat him. And it's just,
fuck.
Again, it's like he just kills me and then I just, you know, I reset and I walk back to fight him.
Yeah.
And it's just that thing of like all I have to do to win is just click on the commands in the right order. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so frustrating where it's like,
When you don't, like when you fail enough at a video game, it starts to like, the artifice comes down and you're like, oh, fuck.
This is just a waste of time. Fighting a boss in like a platformer or whatever is like, okay, there's skill here and I need to wait on this side of the screen for a bit and then I need to pick up that thing to chuck at them and I need to make sure and you know, pace myself and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas this literally just feels like,
like a choose your own adventure book,
right? It's like, okay, I can attack him two times in a row, but then he's attacked me enough that my health's gone down. So on the third time, I need to make sure that instead of attacking, I eat a hamburger, which refills all your energy.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just patterns. And it's just like, I die and it's like, oh, all that happened there was I just didn't do the right pattern. Like, it's not like, oh, I was so close and I nearly had him. I had him against the ropes and then I lost my nerve at the end. It's just frustrating because it's just like, oh, all I did was just click one thing when I should have just clicked the other.
Yeah.
And
it
feels like, to me, that sort of combat system, then when you do win, there's no real great victory in it. It's just like, oh, well, I just got lucky and just hit the right things at the right time.
Yeah.
There's no super huge strategy involved.
Those older ones especially are a little like that.
Yeah. I think because like the one that I keep comparing it to in my mind is Final Fantasy VII, which is like the big turn-based RPG that I got into.
Yeah.
But that one, like the sense of accomplishment when like they slowly faded away to red and you got the victory thing was amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was so much more sophisticated.
You had
an
aspect of real-time nature to that as well where like things where you had to be quite quick on the draw.
Yes, totally. And it was also like
going in. I've played a little bit of the Mario RPG games.
Oh, yeah.
And they do it kind of well in that you don't just select a thing. When you select an attack, you sort of have to push buttons in a combination. So it'll be like a swinging, like a, how do you explain it? Like a little thing that'll
like
go,
a power
a
meter.
It'll go up and down. Yeah, power meter. Yeah. If you hit it at the right time, or there's like ones where you're Mario and Luigi, and like you, one of your attacks is a shell, and so they kick the shell into the enemy, and it goes back and forth between the two of them.
And you
when it's
timing,
Mario, you
right.
hit A, and when it's Luigi, you kick B.
Right.
And you can just keep going back and forth, and as long as you do it in the right rhythm, you'll just keep kicking the turtle.
Yeah, cool.
So there is a degree of real skill in it instead of just hitting a button.
Yeah.
You told me you tried to go in on Earthbound and you weren't digging it.
Nah. I went back a second time and I was like, all right, I'm going to see, you know, like I'm going to see if it compares to Tommy's experience.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't get into it at all. It felt to me like a less well-made Pokemon game.
It is because it was made before that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, I just, because I've been going in like a lot of the older games as well. Like I got the whole emulator set up and just trying to find the ones that were actually fun to play and really
I think I'm
going
to go back in on Link to the Past.
Yeah, right.
Zelda on the SNES. I remember that being really cool. But yeah, I mean, Earthbound I have a lot of problems with, but I love the art style of it and the humor of it so much that it's kind of bugging me out because there's bits of it that I'm just really not enjoying, but I just want to see what happens. Like, I want to progress through it.
Yep.
There's just so many cool little things in it. Like, every time you're at your house, you can call your dad and he puts money into your bank account for you, and then you, like, there's just all these like cute
oh, you'd love that enough money to go play Earthbound.
Yeah, there's just all these cute little things like that that I just yeah. really like, that are just like really funny. And your dad's like on the like he's just absent, like he's yeah. just not in the house, but he's just like
yeah.
you call him to get like. You don't even have to, like, win the money in fights. Like, because, yeah, you're a little kid, so your dad just transfers you money
yeah.
for you to go out and buy burgers to refill your health when a gang leader is kicking the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Like, it's all so weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
we should probably wrap it up, I think.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
We should tie a bow on this.
Yep.
Actually, just really quickly, if you're
oh,
thinking of...
Oh, God.
No, well, you said you were going to play Link to the Past. A Link Between Worlds is really good. That's on 3DS.
I've heard that's great.
It's
yeah,
very good.
I'm pretty behind on a few 3DS
yeah,
games,
that's
but that's been
good.
On my
that's
list.
That's all yeah, I wanted to say. Everybody cool. go buy 10 copies. Buy the Super Deluxe Legend of Hyrule Zelda Edition.
So this will come out on Monday, which will have plenty of time for you dickheads to arrange... This is to our listeners, guys, sorry.
Oh. This is to the filth.
Come on down to PAX and hang out.
Yeah, it'll let us know fun. If you're going to be at PAX. Yeah, I'm going to bring my 3DS. I'm pretty keen to play a bit of. Did either of you guys have Luigi's Mansion 2 on the 3DS?
No.
It's so good. It was maybe my favorite game of that year that it came out.
Right.
I really loved it a lot. And it's got a multiplayer mode in it that seems pretty cool, but ooh. I've never played with anyone. Yeah, if you're going to be there, if you're going to have a 3DS,
yeah,
let us know if you just want to say good day.
Yep.
If you're keen for us to vox pop you,
yeah.
Should we cosplay? Let's dress up, guys. I've told you guys this already. I think I'm going to go as Drake from the Hotline Bling video. I've already got the tracksuit pants and the boots. I just need a turtleneck.
Oh, God.
At some point, you're just wearing a tracksuit, though. Like that's...
Yeah. That's... Hey, that's just a benefit. Right.
Also, Noxy, it's not relevant to a gaming convention.
Nah, it doesn't matter. Neither's half of the shit people... it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go off on cosplay the week before I go to a place where there's going to be a million.
Yeah.
Noxie's getting a big haircut this week.
Yeah,
just in time for PAX.
I've got a huge day tomorrow. I'm getting a huge big haircut.
So you're cosplaying as someone who's not a filthy hippie.
Yeah,
you shaved your beard, you're cutting your hair.
I've shaved my beard, I'm cutting my hair.
Yep.
Daddy's getting a job.
All right,
though.
Yeah, hit us up at Filthy Kaz Pod.
Yep.
Filthy CAS Pod on Twitter.
Correct.
I can never remember the Facebook.
Filthy Casuals Podcast.
Yep. And yeah, send us any stuff you want us to talk about.
Yeah, and rate and review us on iTunes, please.
Oh, yes, do that. That really helps a lot. Let us know if you're going to be at PAX. And we'll see you out there in the digital world.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.